Welcome to the Virginia is for Laughers podcast, brought to you by X2 Comedy. If you're looking to get more out of your Shenandoah Valley experience, then this is the podcast for you. You'll meet interesting people, musicians, and comedians that perform here and find out more about what you can do and see. Whether you live here or plan to visit, listen to explore what makes our unique slice of heaven. Now here's your host, Don Davis Womack.
Hello, laughers. It's truly exciting and an honor to host a truly inspiring guest, Vonda Driver, the executive director of the Sadie Rose Foundation. The Sadie Rose Foundation is a nonprofit 501c3 organization based in the picturesque Shenandoah Valley of Virginia. This foundation extends a compassionate hand to families and individuals navigating the challenging journey of grieving the loss of a loved one, irrespective of the circumstances surrounding that loss. The Sadie Rose Foundation was born out of a deeply personal and poignant story of its founders, Lee and Regina Harlow, which we will explore today. To shed light on the foundation's mission and its upcoming December event, the Candlelight Ceremony, we are privileged to have Vonda Driver with us. For those of us that have lost a loved one, the holidays can be a hard season. This event, where candles are lit in memory of loved ones, provides a space for reflection, remembrance, and unity. There is so much more they do to support those grieving loss, so let's delve into the story behind the Sadie Rose Foundation, the incredible work they do, and the meaningful events they organize throughout the year. Welcome to the show, Vonda. It's great to have you on today.
Thanks so much for having me.
This is truly an honor to be with you today. As someone who has experienced several losses of loved ones, I do know and appreciate how hard the holidays can be.
Absolutely.
Yes. And it is so meaningful to have great support in one's time of need because loss is so hard. So I'm excited to delve into what you can provide to families and people that are going through this. And my first question for you is, can you share the personal journey that led to the creation of the Sadie Rose Foundation and how it has evolved since then?
Of course. Back in 2007, Lee and Regina, our founders, were expecting their first daughter. And Regina was having a particularly difficult pregnancy, and also they knew that there were going to be some complications with Sadie Rose. The doctors had informed them that she had a form of skeletal dysplasia or dwarfism, and what you can't know before the baby is born is what particular type of dwarfism the baby has. About 70% of the types of skeletal dysplasia are survivable outside of the womb, and about 30% are not. So even though they knew that she wasn't necessarily going to be normal, they thought they had a pretty good chance of having an otherwise healthy baby to bring home. So the last month or so of Regina's pregnancy, she was actually on total bed rest over at UVA. And on that section of the hospital, everybody's on bed rest. So nobody can really go around and visit each other. And they're there for a long time. So the moms have a notebook that they pass around so that they can talk to each other and share their stories. And in their for their experience, they had so many visitors that they had to actually ask their family and friends to stop coming because Regina was being interrupted too much and not getting the rest that she needed. But there was another mom on the floor at the same time who didn't have any visitors at all. And so even though they don't know how her story ended, they don't know if her baby lived or died. But when they realized shortly after Sadie was born that they weren't going to get to take her home, and as they processed their own grief, they kept asking themselves, what would we do if we did not have the support that we have? How would we survive this? And so they formed the foundation in Sadie Rose's honor as a way to help other people find that connection if they needed it. And so it began specifically for infant and pregnancy loss.
That's really wonderful. It does take a personal story that lots of times results in change and creates new resources for people. And it is truly meaningful to have someone there in your corner, whether you actually know them or not. Sometimes it's anonymous. Yeah, I remember when my father fell 22 feet off our backstory deck. I was just 18 years old and the oldest of seven children. And that was
3 days before starting my freshman year in college. So that was August. And then Christmas comes around. He's laying in a coma in the hospital. And the amount of support that surrounded us made such a huge difference. Both people that we knew and the anonymous deliveries that would constantly show up outside of our back door filled with bags of groceries and food and different things like that. And so I'm excited to get into more in depth about the resources and events that you offer specifically in our area for our community that have experienced the death of a loved one. Could you elaborate on the specific support services and resources the foundation provides?
Sure. So a lot of what we do is one-on-one support. We have volunteers who have experienced grief and been helped by other people, you know, have experienced like you did, how much it helps to have someone drop off a bag of groceries or whatever. So these people will be connected with someone who's requesting support, and they might be text communications or they might be email. Some people might prefer to meet for coffee, so they can sort of tailor that support to whatever the person requesting the support is needing. And so when we do that, we try to pair them up with someone who's had the most similar loss that we have. So someone who has a miscarriage will be paired with someone who has had a miscarriage. And, you know, someone who's lost an older child will be paired with someone who's lost an older child. So that kind of thing. And as, you know, the foundation started for infant and pregnancy loss, but that was back in 2008. So as with any baby, Sadie Rose has grown up a lot in the 16 years. So we now provide support for anyone that would like that, regardless of the relationship or the reason for the loss. We try to support everybody that we can.
I'm curious, as you're sharing that with me and talking about all the matching that you do, how do you find these people that you can match up with the individuals that reach out for you looking for support?
Most of our support volunteers are folks who have benefited from the foundation specifically, although that's not a requirement. But basically, it's meeting someone and hearing their story. And, you know, as we at the foundation hear other people's stories, then I might get a connection. Like, I might reach out to someone I know and say, hey, I think you would be really good at this. Would you be willing to help me out in this way? And, you know, it's okay if people say no. Sometimes people do, because not everybody is at a place emotionally where they feel like they can adequately support someone else. So it's not, there's no judgment if somebody says no, but a lot of it is just like word of mouth. It's not something that we feel like we can advertise for.
I see. But if they found out about you and they're listening to this podcast and they've experienced loss and they feel like they are in a place where they can be a listening ear to someone else, they can reach out to you at Sadie Rose.
Yes, and we're certainly willing to have that conversation. And, you know, like I said, we do our best to match up people that we think would be good together. So, we're always looking. We always need more people on the rolls because we don't want anyone to be doing it all the time.
That's right.
In the beginning, Regina did a lot of it all by herself and eventually figured out that no one can live in that space all the time. So we want to make sure that our volunteers don't get overwhelmed and we don't have one person that's always on the volunteer list.
I think that's a good policy. I think that's a good policy. Grieving is hardest thing.
Grief is hard.
It really is. It takes a minute to really fully process all the emotions. And by a minute, I mean, I've read it takes anywhere from 18 months to 2 years on average to fully go through and process grieving. Is that correct?
That is correct. And of course, every grief experience is going to be different. Mm-hmm. How I would grieve for my mother is different than how I would grieve for my father because they're different people. My relationship with them is different. How I would grieve a best friend is different than how I would grieve someone who I like very much, but is just an acquaintance. Like there's how the relationship was prior to loss is part of it, but also our personality is part of it. Mm-hmm. So some people need to process out loud. Some people need to process quietly and alone.
Draw.
And maybe some people need both, but just depending on when it is. So it's just so important to honor how we feel and not make how we feel right or wrong. So just because you grieve differently than I grieve for the same person doesn't make either one of us wrong. Mm-mm. It's just different.
It's very personal, and some people journal and that really speaks to them to let their emotions out. And it's so important that you guys offer this organization to people, because I don't know if you've read The Body Keeps Score. Have you read that book?
I have not read it, but I have heard of the concept. Yeah.
Yeah. So our body keeps score. And when we don't process all the emotions, which all emotions are okay because we're human, then if we don't process them, they get stored in our body, and that
causes disease.
Yep. And wreaks all kinds of other havoc.
Yes.
Personally, emotionally, physically. So this is an amazing thing, an amazing work that you are doing, my friend. And I'm excited to talk more about it, because you have several events that really give people an opportunity to connect with others who have experienced loss, to encourage others that have experienced loss, to get a listening ear, to have some support around you with other people who completely understand what you're going through. And you have an annual event that comes up in December, which I think is so timely and beautiful, because again, the holidays are really hard, especially if the grieving is really fresh.
Yes.
And this is a candlelight ceremony that is approaching. Can you tell us more about when this is happening and the significance of this event, where it is, and how it brings the community together?
Sure. So our candlelighting ceremony is an annual event. And we do it on the second Sunday in December every year, because it started, there's a worldwide candlelighting memorial service that is done by the Compassionate Friends Network, which is specifically a child loss candlelighting ceremony. So it's when we started it, we picked December 10th to be in participation with the Compassionate Friends. And now, since we have more than just child loss represented in our candlelighting ceremony, we're not directly connected with that particular event anymore, but we keep it at that same time. So there are people all over the world at 7 p.m. lighting candles in memory of their loved ones. And so there are many services around the world on December the 10th for that. So our ceremony this year is going to be at Harrisonburg First Church of the Brethren, which is on Dogwood Avenue in Harrisonburg, at 7 p.m. And we have just a brief service, and then we have a table of candles. And so everybody who's there is able to come up and light the candle and say their loved one's name or names and light the candle. And then afterwards, we have some snacks and a time of fellowship.
Oh, that's really great. Now, at these events, are there people that come to a lot of them? So you kind of come to the event meeting friends, or is it a mixture of friends and new faces, and what does it look like?
Some of both, yeah. Okay. I mean, we have people who have been involved with the foundation for many years, and you know, while their grief is not fresh, part of continuing to live with you never get over.
No,
you never get over loss. It's always there. But
yes,
for some of our people, you know, once they feel like they've healed some, they want to give back. So part of doing that is being involved in our events. And that way, you know, when someone new comes in and they might be in fresh grief, we have people there that can surround someone who's really grieving, or step aside and have a conversation if it's needed, that kind of thing. So yeah, we have a nice mix. There's always new people, but we always have some faithful friends of the foundation who are at a lot of things.
That's really special. And on a lighter note, something else that brings family together is some scrumptious gourmet popcorn from our sponsor, Preposterous, Shenandoah Valley's only award-winning popcorn. Now, have you ever had this great popcorn?
It is delicious.
Amazing.
It is so delicious.
Our friend Tisha, that owns Preposterous Popcorn, she makes the most amazing flavors. I believe this is the caramel apple we're trying right now.
It's tasty.
So tasty. And their kernels are grown right here in the valley. Their factory is 100% nut-free, And this popcorn makes a great gift for any occasion, including Christmas. If you need a stocking stuffer, friends, let me tell you, this is, look no further.
And if you don't know who to give it to, you can send some my way.
And my way too. Plus, Preposterous offers our laughers a discount. So just use promo code LAUGH15 to get that 15% discount when you visit preposterous.com. That's PreposterouS.com. And you can choose from a variety of their delicious, sweet, and savory flavors today. And they even have holiday-themed popcorn. Did you know this? Gingerbread and peppermint.
Ooh, yummy.
That's some of my favorite, to be honest with you. So laughers, do not miss out and get you some today. Now back to you. Fonda. You have more events I want to talk about that okay. I think are absolutely delightful. You have the butterfly release and picnic, a 5K, the infant and pregnancy loss awareness walk, and other annual remembrance events. You may, if you can just speak on a few of them and what those look like, that would be great. And then how do the events contribute to the healing and remembrance for the families and individuals sure. you serve?
So the butterfly release and picnic happens on the fourth Saturday in June, which is near Sadie Rose's birthday. Sadie was born on the 21st, I think.
In June.
In June. The
there we go.
So I think in the beginning they released butterflies, but that's not environmental. I mean, they released balloons, but that's not environmentally friendly. So we don't do that anymore.
Oh, okay.
But also butterflies for many people are a symbol of a loved one who has passed. Mm-hmm. So if you see a butterfly, you know, that might be a visit from your loved one.
Aww.
So the butterflies are significant they're environmentally friendly. We need butterflies and they're beautiful, mm-hmm. but they also are significant for, as a remembrance thing. So we get together and, we get these butterflies. They come in these little, you know, when you were in elementary school and you used to make the football out of paper.
Yes, we still
they're
do.
They're shaped like
at restaurants.
So the packages are shaped a little bit like that.
Yeah.
And so they come just above frozen. Like they're not frozen solid. They're still alive, but
right.
I have to wait until the right moment to take the ice packs off. And so they're thawed out just in time.
Whoa.
And then we pass the knot to everybody and you open your little package and your butterfly flies away.
So. Oh, yeah. I had a conflict this last summer. I couldn't go, but I want to go this next year. Circle my calendar and make it. That sounds amazing.
So we do that in the afternoon because we want to give the butterflies time to find safe shelter for the night. So that's about 3:30 in the afternoon, we release the butterflies. And that's, again, we're hoping to have all of our events in 2024 at Harrisonburg First Church of the Brethren. So that should be there. They have a nice pavilion outside and it's right next to the park. So lots of places for the butterflies to live.
Oh, I love that. And then the 5K, what time of year do you do that? Are you still doing that?
Or? We're still doing that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we did move the 5K to the fall. We're doing that now on the fourth Sunday in September.
Okay.
And we do that over at Massanutta Springs Camp and Conference Center.
Oh, great. That's around the corner from where we are right now.
They are very gracious to host us and they take care of the course for us and have a nice... And in September, it's beautiful. You know, the leaves have started to change and we run around the lake and up through the woods. So a really nice location for that. And this past year, we partnered with Pleasant View Inc.
Mm-hmm.
to do it together so that we would have more participation. So I think we'll continue to do that moving forward, partner with them. So that is a fundraiser, of course, but it doubles as a remembrance event for some of our families. They come together and run or walk in remembrance of their loved one.
I love that. So there's not necessarily a lot of running like a traditional Virginia Momentum race or...
Right. I mean, some people want to be timed and we have a thing where you can tell us if you want your race to be timed and we'll give you a bib. But if you don't care about the time, then you don't necessarily have to have a bib. So,
That's okay.
It's a remembrance event for those who want it to be, and it's just a fun race for those who wanted to be that.
I love that. You're serving everybody there. That's right. A good thing. And you're raising funds. What's important about raising funds and what are the funds for? So people that are listening can go, oh my gosh, maybe I haven't experienced the loss of a loved one, most of us have, but sometimes you're later in life before you experience that. And for whatever reason, they just might want to be like, hey, I really believe in this organization. I want to get involved. I'd love to meet Vonda Driver and see what she's all about. And maybe I can help more, but at least I can give some money. What would my money be going to?
Right. So, I mean, a lot of our programs are fairly low cost in themselves. Like, I don't necessarily have to buy a lot of supplies. Of course, butterflies cost money, but it takes a lot of time. Mm. So there's, you know, overhead. Mm-hmm. Right now we don't have an office. For a while we had significant office expense. We have trimmed down as much as we can. But yeah, I mean, running a nonprofit, even though we don't charge anybody for our services, like if you come to the butterfly event, mm-hmm. you don't have to pay $5 for your butterfly. Like, I'm just going to give you a butterfly. Yeah. So all of our services are free of charge to people who need them. But it does take money to offer those services. So,
yeah.
So yeah, we rely on our very kind donors to keep things going.
Yeah. And you have journals and that's printing costs.
Yes. We have journals, we have candles, little packs of tissues that we pass out. So yeah, I mean, it's not any one specific, like, this is really expensive that we do, but all the things add up. So,
and it does cost to run an event.
Yes. And we are in the process of starting to raise money to be able to have a place of our own again.
Oh, that'd be great.
We were on Main Street in Dayton for quite a long time, and that was a really good place for us for a while, but we needed to step away from that. And, you know, going forward, we're looking for more of a, I guess a church style type of place so that we can host grief retreats and have more elaborate programs. Like, we'd like to have a program specific to help children who are experiencing grief.
Oh, that would be wonderful. So
that's something that we hope to begin to implement soon.
Oh yeah, we would have loved that. I was the oldest of seven. So the ages when we had our family tragedy, so the ages of my siblings ranged from age 2 to 18.
Right. And as adults, a lot of times we don't really know how to tell our, especially younger children, we don't know how to explain to them what's going on and why this person is no longer able to come and be with them.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we have lots of books that we share with families.
Yeah.
And most of the books that we give away are geared for children to help them
you
know, process their grief.
I think that would have been truly helpful because it was completely different having a conversation with my 2, 3, and 5-year-old versus the 11, 13, and 17-year-old.
Right.
You know, it's my mom and I worked together on that as best as an 18-year-old can at that time. That's a whole nother podcast, Laughers.
Yes, indeed.
But also why I think this is so great to have you on here today. This is important work that you're doing. I'm really excited about the services that you'll be able to offer children soon. So Laughers, please do come out to their events. And if you can't, send your money to help them get a place where they can have more services and resources available to people of all ages. I think that's hugely important. And that is some of the ways you just shared of how you serve families, which I appreciate. So thank you. Can you also walk us through the process of submitting a photograph for the remembrance table or slideshow that you're going to have at this December event, the candlelight ceremony?
Yeah. So for the slideshow, you could just send the photograph to office@SadieRoseFoundation.org and we would create that. And I haven't actually looked too closely at the space that we're going to be using, but I'm sure there's a table somewhere. So yeah, if you want to submit a actual hard copy of a photo, I just can't guarantee that I'm going to be able to get the photo back. So don't give me your last copy.
Okay. Just that is a very good note to put out there.
So yeah. You could mail those to our post office box, which is post office box 382, Dayton, Virginia, 22821. If you're local in Harrisonburg, I could possibly meet you somewhere, but like I said, we don't have an office right now. So that would just be a matter of organizing logistics.
Okay. And laughers, do not worry if you are on the treadmill, out for a walk, or driving a vehicle right now. We will be sure to put that information for you in the show notes so that you can have it. And that is a wonderful and meaningful tribute that you guys are putting together. In your experience, how does the foundation provide one-on-one support to the grieving individuals? You know, we've been talking about group events. So tell us more about the one-on-one. You match them up, then what happens?
So that's where it's not really clear because it's going to be different for everybody. And my volunteers do not report back to me. It's all confidential.
Oh, that sounds, that's good, actually.
Yeah. So, but they can tailor what they offer to the person that is asking for the request. So again, everybody grieves differently. So someone might just want to text back and forth a few times and know that they've got somebody that they have kind of on like speed dial.
Right.
That if they're having a bad day, they can, I've got this person I can reach out to. Mm-hmm. Some people might want to have a phone conversation. Some people might want to get together for coffee. That's something that they can work out between themselves. But I don't get in the middle of any of that.
Okay. I like that. Yeah, everybody's needs are different. So the two people that are working together and communicating, they'll figure it out.
Right.
I like that. Yeah. How does Sadie Rose Foundation, or how has the Sadie Rose Foundation grown since its inception? And what are your hopes for its future impact?
Okay. Well, again, in 2008, Lee and Regina started the foundation specifically to support folks who had a miscarriage or infant loss. And it was that for a number of years. But as the years went on, they received requests for support for different kinds of losses, older mm-hmm. children, spouse, that kind of thing. So the format is largely the same. We do one-to-one support, and we offer groups when they're, you know, when they're needed, when they're wanted. but it's just not specific to child loss anymore. So, for mm-hmm. instance, we have a widow and widowers group that meets on the third Monday of every month for folks that fall into that category. And by widow and widower, that includes folks that aren't necessarily legally married but lose a domestic partner. Like, mm-hmm. there's no... Yeah, you know, we don't ask that question.
Okay. That's important too, especially these days. Absolutely. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. I mean, it's in our mind, whether you have the legal piece of paper that says you're married or not, if you have cohabitated, it's the same.
It's still losing a loved one.
It's still losing essentially a
spouse.
Somebody
you cared about. Yes. Yeah. Deeply.
And so again, once we have our, we're working on the details of being able to use Harrisonburg First Church of the Brethren as sort of a home base mm-hmm. Until we're able to buy our own place. So hopefully really soon we'll be able to have more group meetings happening because we'll have that space to use. So hopefully beginning of next year, we'll have that all fine. We're really close to the end.
Yeah. And let's keep believing. That's you know, right. Together, everyone.
These things take time.
That's right. And together, everyone accomplishes more. That's what a team is.
That's the acronym
I use a lot. Grieving is a universal experience, yet each journey is unique, as you've been sharing throughout this interview. Can you share a particularly impactful or heartwarming story of how the Sadie Rose Foundation has made a difference in someone's life?
Well, I mean, again, I don't always get the end story. Mm-hmm. So I guess the one that I can tell is someone that I know personally recently lost a 12-year-old. Mm-hmm. It was very sudden and very unexpected. And I don't really even know that they've had a good reason, but they were able to, because they knew me, they knew of the foundation. So they were able to reach out and I was able to connect them to the appropriate person. I'm not the appropriate person since I haven't experienced that particular loss myself. But we do have someone. And I do know that they were able to talk back and forth a few times. And I think that really helped my friend. I mean, he said it did, so.
Good.
Again, I'm not privy to the conversation that they had between them.
Which is also good.
Yeah. Yeah.
It creates an intimacy.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, we want people to know that whatever you say to that support volunteer, that truly is between the two of you. Yeah. Nobody else, like, we don't keep any files or anything like that. Like, I just make a note of how many people have requested support that we've been able to connect to someone. Like, I just keep like a number count, but not names, not contact
not any
information,
detailed
that kind of
information
thing.
Yeah. Like that. So it's a safe place to share.
Absolutely.
Well, this is really good work, my friend. I mean, I was aware of this good work that you do, but I'm so grateful that we're having this conversation. I hope it helps a lot, some people that are listening, or people that are listening that know of someone that's grieving that could use support. It's a truly incredible foundation. I'm glad it's still alive and with us, kicking and moving into new and even deeper connections and spaces and places and all the wonderful things. For those who may want to support or get involved with the Sadie Rose Foundation, let's talk about these opportunities or avenues that are available now and maybe coming online.
Okay. So when we have a group support meeting, we obviously need someone to facilitate that group. When we have a facilitator for a specific group, so say we're going to have a group that's for miscarriage. Mm-hmm. The facilitator of that group, of course, has to have had a miscarriage at some point. And again, be at a place where they are okay revisiting the emotions and not having it take too big of a toll on them. So, you know, it's not, our facilitator isn't going to be somebody who had a miscarriage 3 or 6 months ago. You know, they're going to have had time to the right word.
It'll come.
It's always a struggle to find the right words, but because again, you don't get over it, but they've had time to adjust, find their new normal, that kind of thing. So obviously we always need volunteers for the one-to-one support and to be facilitators. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of people are scared of the facilitator title. Mm-hmm. And it's not like a book study or you're not teaching a class. It's really just someone to be sort of the point person, like know where the bathrooms are.
Yeah.
Know where the light switches are.
The general answers to simple questions.
Well, right. And, yeah. And just sort of like monitor the conversation. So if it seems like something's getting really off the rails, we can maybe move
Bring
the conversation
the focus
back over
back
here.
In. Yeah.
But again, totally safe space. What happens in the group meetings stays in the group meeting. I don't get report other than number of people attended. I don't get
details.
Yeah. And then all of our events take volunteer, you know, our 5K has some things that need to be done and the butterfly release has some things that need to be done. So, you know, every event we might have a couple of volunteers would be helpful. And of course, you know, funds.
Back to the money.
I will say that, so for 2024, the Sadie Rose Foundation has been selected by Harrisonburg Women's Service League as the primary beneficiary of their golf tournament that they do in May. I don't know the date right off the top of my head, but I know. So part of our responsibility as being the primary beneficiary is providing volunteers. So that will be a big volunteer day for us. So if that's something that you might be willing to do, we definitely are taking names for that.
What would the volunteers need to do? Check people in? What are some of the duties volunteers would have? Do they need to be a golfer?
They do not need to be a golfer.
Okay.
I am not a golfer. So
I am. Laughers. Yeah. I'm going to get back into it in 2024. I'm terrible, but
yeah.
If you want to golf with me, let me know.
So obviously, you know, check in. We do a the service league, they do like a raffle. So there's raffle tickets to be sold. We need different people around the golf course manning different fun things at some of the holes and just sort of helping. I think there are beverage carts that go around. So somebody has to drive the beverage cart.
So I need to volunteer for that.
There's a lot of, there's a variety of things. So we can probably find something that suits you if you want to help us volunteer, volunteer for
think,
that.
I think I identified it as a beverage cart. But you already knew this, Fonda.
Yes, this is true.
I love that. This is so good. Okay, what was the name of the golfing group that's on a...
It's Harrisonburg Women's Service League.
Oh, that's not a golfing group.
It's not a golfing group. They do...
That's right. Okay, so thank you. Tell us about them.
Okay, so Harrisonburg Women's Service League is a group of ladies from the area and really are... And I'm a member of the group, so...
Oh, wonderful. So you're a perfect person to ask. Tell us about these ladies. Talk about it, please.
We do volunteer things throughout the year, and some of them are very small. Like, for instance, we went to Hope Distributed a couple of months ago and helped them switch the clothes in their clothes closet. We switched from summer to winter.
Oh, that's great.
So we helped with that.
Okay.
So little things like that. We went to the Teachers Depot and... organized binders or something one day. But then in the spring, in May, they do a golf tournament and raise funds. And so that's really the only fundraiser that they have throughout the year. So some of the money stays with Harrisonburg Women's Service League to take care of the things that they need to pay for. But they have one primary beneficiary each year. So this coming year, it's the Sadie Rose Foundation.
I love that they picked that. That's great. And we do have laughers from all over the globe listening. And I'm not sure Hope Distributed is a global organization or not.
I don't believe so.
Okay. What do they do?
So Hope Distributed helps people who need assistance with clothing and furniture, and they have a food bank. So I think a lot of their focus is on maybe... people who are new to the Valley, immigrants or that kind of thing, refugees, like they help them get, because they come with nothing.
And they need things. They need clothing and furniture. Yeah.
And I would just, I was putting clothes on the rack at their clothes closet. And there's some really nice clothes in there for these people, like better than the clothes I wear.
And so I love that.
Awesome. So that's awesome. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not the stuff that nobody wants. It's actually nice clothing.
Oh, wonderful. Yeah, we have a huge immigrant community here. ESL is, well, last time I checked, maybe it's more. I think it was 86%.
It's a lot, yeah.
In our community. So we have, and we have great resources that help immigrants here.
We really do.
Yeah, this is one of the targeted areas, I think, in the country for that. It's not the only one, obviously, but
right.
Yeah, that's really great. Well, this has been truly amazing. I want to ask you in closing before we wrap up and get the contact information so people can connect with you beyond the P.O. box. I wanted to ask you in closing, is there a message or piece of advice you would like to share with individuals or families who are currently navigating through the grieving process right now?
I would say the most important thing is, and I think I've already said this, but how you feel is legitimate.
Mm-hmm.
Even if two people who live in the same house are grieving very, very differently,
which happens,
you're both right.
Mm-hmm.
And it's important as we process the grief with whoever is our family, the ones close to us, that we don't allow our own grief to become anger or to look like anger pointed at our family and cause worse situations down the road. So how you feel is legitimate, how they feel is legitimate. And as we acknowledge our emotions, that's how we begin to heal.
Mm.
To when we when we feel like we're supposed to be expressing grief a certain way, and that's not how we're doing it or not how someone else is doing it, then that's how we begin to stuff those emotions and store them in our body where we don't want them. So
you don't want them there. You know?
So yeah, acknowledge how you feel and be okay with that for now, and know that it's not always going to be that way. And then also, you're not alone. So there are people who are very willing to sit with you and help you navigate the process.
I think that is amazing. There truly is something special about somebody else who's gone through loss like yours. When they say the two words, "I understand," you just know when someone truly does.
Correct. And it's a different feeling than someone who says it but doesn't really.
Yes.
If you don't understand where someone is, please don't say you do.
Yes. Yes. You can acknowledge, I am so sorry. You must be hurting. And I'm here for you. I'm here to listen.
And that's legitimate too.
Yeah.
It's totally okay to sit with someone whose grief is different than yours, whose situation is different than yours, but acknowledge that you don't know. You know?
Yeah, I don't know what to say.
When my friend lost their teenage daughter, I said, "I cannot imagine how you feel."
That's a great thing to say.
I hate that you're going through this.
Yeah.
But I don't understand it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, but yet I was still helpful to them. So you don't have to have experienced exactly the same thing in order to help someone process.
I love this. Before we get to the wrap up question, this is a great opportunity because I think we're just starting to talk about it right here, but a lot of times people just don't know what to say. They don't know what to say when somebody's just gone through something tragic. So just to expand a little bit more before we close out with the contact information, what are some of the do's and don'ts? I think we just started touching on it, but is there some glaring things that you've seen in your experience and in your work? You're like, you know, I would advise against saying this or doing this, and I would more advise maybe saying this and doing this instead.
So my first advice on that topic would be, if you don't know what to say, don't say anything. If they're a person who wants a hug, hug them.
Some people aren't huggers.
Some people aren't. Don't force it. If, you know, but it's okay to say, "I don't have any words right now."
That's a great phrase. I like that.
It's okay to say that. And I think it's important to not put your own, like, if my own religious beliefs, you know, what I believe happens with someone after death, it's important in that grief, especially when grief is really fresh, that I'm not putting my spiritual beliefs out there for them, because maybe they don't believe that. Or maybe right now, even if they do, maybe right now they just can't.
Mm-hmm.
So the "God needed another angel" is not helpful to a person who has just lost a child.
Good to know.
Whether you believe that to be true or not isn't relevant. It's not helpful to that person who is very fresh in their grief. Because, I mean, okay, so maybe God needed another angel, but did he have to take my kid? Like,
I hear
it's
that.
Not helpful. So I think that's probably one of the key things that I've heard over the years when people are saying, you know, so-and-so said whatever. It's those religious beliefs that we hold on to that
are important to us.
That are important to us and for us might feel comforting.
Right.
But it's important not to say that to someone else who may not in that moment find it comforting. So I'm like, if you know them really well
and you know
they share your beliefs, then it might be okay. But if it's, especially if it's someone who you know doesn't believe the same as you, or you just don't know, like, stay away from that sort of thing.
You know, I'm seeing another way you can be resourceful to people, which has probably already happened, but you can be a resource to people that don't know what to say. And I have a friend or somebody they really care about just lost somebody, and they want to be supportive, and they have no idea how. They could reach out to you guys for some ideas, it sounds like.
And there may be a class or something like that coming up soon. There's a lot of things percolating in the background.
Yeah, I think it'll help to have your own place to be able to offer some more things like that. Because I think most people mean well.
And absolutely.
They want to be supportive of the people in their lives. And they just need some help to know what to do and say in their friends and loved ones' time of need.
Right. And I think that, you know, when people say somebody said this and it was the opposite of helpful, they understand that the person was trying to be helpful.
Yes. I remember that too. I recognized that even when we were going through our tragedy. I was like, they don't know what to say, but they're trying.
Right. Yes. Right. They don't know what they don't know. So, So everybody obviously means well and wants to help, but again, sometimes saying nothing at all is the right thing.
Yeah, and just being there with the person,
like
just sitting with them.
Do you need to talk? Do you need to?
Yeah, and you know what? Somebody who's grieving will tell you. I've been in that position and had a friend who loved me. It's like a little 18-year-old friend. Even then, have the wisdom. There's intuitive wisdom. You know what I mean? And she came to me and she said, I don't know what to say, but I'll sit here with you if you want me to.
And another thing, when someone's in fresh grief is don't ask them how you can help them, because that's another decision that they have to make and they don't have the mental resources more decisions.
That's so true.
If you want to help them, go wash their dishes.
Yeah.
Go take them a bag of groceries that aren't hard to cook.
Yeah, that's a good one too. I appreciated those. Yeah.
If it's summertime and the grass is getting high, mow the yard.
Oh, we had that happen too. I come home and like, who did that?
Like, just do the things, because they have enough decisions to make, especially if if they're part of the process of deciding the funeral and the where they get buried or how they, you know, what's happening here. If they have to make all of those decisions, what they're eating for supper is not a decision they can make.
Yeah.
Whether the laundry is done or not is not even in their head. Mm-mm. So that gift card that allows them to stop at Starbucks.
Oh yeah. That's good. Wish we had that.
There are so many ways that you can be there for someone without saying a word.
That is absolutely 100% true. I love the easy meals. You don't have the capacity. You would think, you would think it would be, until you go through it, you think, well, choose a casket, it's no problem. Boy, oh day, that is
so many more problems. And if you take them a casserole, either go to the thrift store and buy a casserole dish that you don't care about so you don't have to get it back, or send it in something disposable. Don't make them have to remember whose casserole dish that is and get it back to you.
Yeah, because chances are that's just not
going to happen. You're never going to see it again, even if you want to.
Yeah.
But just again, don't give them any more decisions.
Yeah. And that's not personal, by the way.
It's not.
You just have so much. You're flooded with emotions, and it's those simple things.
Grief is exhausting.
Yeah, it is very, very exhausting. And if any of those anonymous people back in Morgantown, West Virginia, that were there for us in 1987 and 1988 are listening, I just want to say thank you. I do.
Right.
Getting choked up again. All right. Anyways, all right. Well, this is a good time to wrap up here and ask you, Wanda, how best can the Laughers stay updated with the latest on the Sadie Rose Foundation on social media or otherwise to get connected with you and keep up with what's going on?
Okay. So our website is www.sadieroseFoundation.org. And we do have a link on there where you can sign up for our newsletter. So that's one good way. There's also a calendar there. We're on Facebook. Sadie Rose Foundation. You can find us there. And then, yeah, that's probably the two best places. The newsletter and the Facebook page were the most active one.
I love it. Well, thank you so much, Fonda. This has been so encouraging to know we have an organization like this in our community to support those grieving loved ones. What a blessing. Thank you. Thank you to the founders and to your organization for carrying on the torch and being a beacon of light in such dark times in people's lives, especially around the holidays when it can be so hard. I know my family would have benefited so much from an organization like this. So thank you so much for sharing today.
Thanks for having me.
You bet. And laughers, to learn more about the Sadie Rose Foundation, please visit their Facebook and website at SadieRoseFoundation.org. That's Sadie, S-A-D-I-E, RoseFoundation.org. And if you or someone you know would be blessed by remembering and honoring a loved one this holiday season, share this episode and join them for the upcoming annual December event. And also, don't forget that discount on Prepopsterous using promo code LAUGH15 at Prepopsterous.com. That way you can munch on it on next week's episode and or purchase it as another gift this holiday season. And lastly, and most importantly, thanks for tuning in, laughers. Out of all the podcasts out there, you picked us, and we think that's pretty darn special, just like you. Until next time, keep smiling. Bye.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Virginia is for Laughers podcast, brought to you by X2 Comedy. We'll be dropping a new podcast every Wednesday, so check back for another uplifting episode. Come to an X2 Comedy show or let us bring one to you. To find out more, head to x2comedy.com. Be sure to share this podcast with a friend, and until next time, cheers.